Higher Human Performance, the podcast, episode 261. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Higher Human Performance, the podcast. Show notes can be found over at higherhumanperformance.com. Just plug in the number 261 in the search this website box, and it'll take you right there. Today's show is entitled, Is Innovation Valuable in Our Personal Lives? It's brought to you by my company, Bula Network LLC, executive coach and consultancy. We specialize in working with leaders. Welcome to today's show. Let's dive right in. Innovation in the workplace has been a hot topic during my entire career. I guess it's probably been a hot topic during most modern careers. It accelerated when the digital age arrived, but it was present long before that. Some of us, myself included, were old enough to remember a time when our businesses operated with manual handwritten spreadsheets and telephones that had rotary dials and postal service, the mail. No, not email, just regular mail. And then, of course, facsimile machines came along, and suddenly, man, communication got much, much faster. Computers arrived, and there was this piece of software that arrived that just dazzled all of us. It was called VisiCalc. It was the first electronic spreadsheet, and that made every act of accounting, including inventory control and payroll, much, much faster. Technical innovation has just been building up ahead of steam all along the way, and today it's coming at such a rate of speed that we likely need supercomputers to even measure it. And the resulting avalanche of data has so dramatically increased that it has also increased the stress in the workplace. Every executive that I know, every executive that I work with and that I've ever worked with, they complain of being overwhelmed more often than not. In fact, I don't know of an executive. I do not know of a leader who has not at some time or another expressed the sense of being overwhelmed. And keeping up wasn't always the biggest concern of leaders. But today it is. Now, simultaneously, many leaders complain about a lack of innovation in their workplace. And they often will make this claim that the pace prevents it. Now, think about this. The pace prevents it. We're moving so fast and furious, there's no time to consider improvement or innovation, said one executive. And he went on to say, besides, we're afraid if we slow down enough to consider there might be a better way, that we'll just fall further behind. Can you relate to that sentiment? I'm wagering you can. Not all that long ago, I released an episode of a podcast over at my other website, Leaning Toward Wisdom. Now, Leaning Toward Wisdom is it's a hobby project. And you can find it. There's a link over in the show notes to this episode. Just go to higherhumanperformance.com and plug in the number 261 in the search this website, and it'll take you right there, and there's a link to it. But this episode was episode 4056 over at Leaning Toward Wisdom, leaningtowardwisdom.com. And the title of that show was taken from a musician who uttered this phrase in a song. He actually uttered this phrase in an interview, I should say, to be more correct. I want it to have the chance of being great. I want it to have the chance of being great. Every executive, every business leader, every organization leader that I know, they want it, that is their work. They want it to have the chance of being great. The question is, how can we go about doing this? And in that episode, over at leaningtowardwisdom.com, I talked about the damage of the hack. The hack. You know, the shortcut, the recipe, the formula, the secret. We're focused on shortcuts. We're focused on recipes and formulas, so much so that I fear we rob ourselves of giving our work a chance to be great. But great is often the result of taking the time to innovate. At home, many people tell me that they're working hard to figure out a better way. This is kind of a paradox to me. Very seldom in my work with leaders, and my work with leaders tends to be over some prolonged period of time. My work with leaders does not tend to be kind of a one-off. In fact, I don't do one-off kind of work. And over the course of time, invariably, a leader will express some struggle with what the world typically calls life-work balance. I don't use that vernacular much. And most of the people that I work with, they don't use it very much either. But in order to express it so that you understand what I'm talking about, you get it. They get it. I get it. And at home, these people who struggle with innovation at work, they will tell me how they're working hard to figure out a better way at home. And it just strikes me as odd. Busy moms and dads are often driven to figure out some things, to innovate at home. Why? Because the pace is blistering, that's why. And yet that same blistering pace at work stymies innovation. Dig deeper, and I think there may be some obvious reasons for this. In fact, I'll give you two of them. Bosses and results. At work, we've got bosses. Hey, even the bosses have bosses. And everything is measured, especially in high-performance organizations. Employees, even executives, especially executives, are driven to knock out that to-do list, produce results, finish projects, start new projects, keep pushing in this mush-mush kind of a world. No rest for the weary. No time to consider if what we're doing might be done in a more efficient or improved way. It's the pressure of the workplace. It's this blistering pace that every executive can relate to. The pressures at home are different. It's less about performance and it's more about efficiency. Get the shopping done. Pick up the dry cleaning. Clean the house. Wash the clothes. Take the kids to school. Life is this never-ending series of to-do lists. It's about accomplishment, not performance. And so the innovation is geared mostly toward getting things done faster or with greater efficiency. It might go something like this. You know, if I swing by the dry cleaners on the way to the pharmacy, I can avoid that road construction on my way back home. And so at home, that kind of conversation, that innovation, well, it takes the form of mapping out geographical and time navigation. The paradox to me, the paradox is that busyness, it's driving both behaviors. At work, it's clogging up the innovation. But at home, it's forcing it to happen. And the result is we're getting more done. Well, you know why. We have to. What choice have we got? The question is, are we doing great work? Yeah, are we building better businesses? Are we building better organizations? Are we developing people better? More importantly, for today's show, are we building better homes? Are we building better marriages? Are we building a better environment for our children to thrive in? Because innovation isn't about change. I can sit across from a leader who is quite bent toward change, and invariably I'm going to end up in a discussion about how there are people in the organization who are fighting it. There are people who are, I've got too many people on my team and they don't like change, or they're fighting change. And that runs across all industries. Yeah, oftentimes I will say, you know, it's not about change. It's about improvement. And if people want to take issue with your change, yeah, maybe you need to think about your language. Who can argue with improvement? Raise your hand if you're opposed to improvement. It's a very different question than raise your hand if you're opposed to change. It's about taking the time to ask and to answer the question, what if? What if, fill in the blank, what if we spent more time having meaningful conversations with our spouse? You think that might make our marriage better? What if we turned off the TV and all the electronic devices and asked our spouse what we could do to be a better husband, a better wife? You think that might improve the marriage? What if we established some non-negotiable standards in our homes? You know, those things that matter the most to us, those things that we just positively, we want to instill these things in our home. You think our homes would be better places? What if we took the time to consider our short-term future and we actually tried to map out a strategy that might be our best opportunity to get there? What if we decided to do more than hope that our future would be better than our past? Do you think it might improve our odds of performing better at home? What if we took more time to ask more what-if questions? And what if we took the time to come up with good answers to those questions? At the heart of all innovation is that two-word question, what if? Because innovation is really nothing more than improvement for all of us. Personally, it's about giving ourselves the very best opportunity to be the people we know we should be and the power to be our best at home. I'm saddened by too many high-performing executives who struggle at home. I think we may have become jaded a little bit, some of us, in the belief that if we excel in the workplace, then it's incredibly difficult to excel at home. And if you're going to excel at home, then it can be very challenging to excel in the workplace. I don't particularly buy into that. Now, I don't buy into the notion that we can have our cake and eat it too, and that we can have everything in life that we want. There are things that have to give. And I do kind of subscribe to the notion, you know, there are times that work is going to demand more of your time. And then there may be other times where home is going to demand more of your time. And that's why this whole work-life balance thing is kind of a misnomer. It really isn't so much a balance as it is kind of a teeter-totter, right? It's kind of a seesaw thing. And sometimes one is up and the other's down. And sometimes the other one's up and the other one's down. And it's very, very difficult to get them where they're just kind of sitting on an even keel. It's the struggle of life. But I think if we devote ourselves to considering that innovation is valuable in our personal lives, that we can innovate, meaning that we can improve. And if we realize that it begins with us, it doesn't begin with them, I think we've even got a better shot at it. I appreciate you listening. I would love it if you would subscribe to the newsletter, free updates. I got some bonuses, some videos. I got a number of cool things I'd love to send you completely free of charge. I don't send out a lot of email. Sporadic. That's it. The website is higherhumanperformance.com. This has been episode 261. I hope you'll visit the website. Snoop around. There's all kinds of things that you can find that might be of value. If you want to know more about me, you can click on that about page. You can click on the who I work with and find out all that you need to about me, kind of what I do. Again, the podcast is brought to you by Bula Network LLC, a boutique executive coaching and consulting firm. It's my own. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, from a room that I call the Yellow Studio. I appreciate you listening.